Well, good morning, church. Good to have you here today. What an awesome worship. Isn't that incredible? Gosh, just pouring your hearts out to God was just inspirational for me. For those of you online, good to have you here. Welcome as we share together. As Michelle mentioned, we're starting a new series today called Identified. And over these next several weeks and through the Holy Week, Holy Thursday and Good Friday, we're going to be taking a look at the life of Jesus, in particular to how he was identified. And how people related to him, and what did that mean? For example, Jesus as healer, or Jesus as the teacher, or Jesus as the King of Kings, or Jesus as our Savior. What does that mean for you and me in very practical ways as we seek to live out our faith and our life walking with Jesus? So we're going to take a look at those each week as we kind of walk through the series. Today I want to talk about Jesus as healer. Jesus as healer. There's probably no more significant aspect that we think of Jesus as we view the Gospels is him as a healer. It was Jesus as the healer that so many crowds gathered around longing to be healed. Healing ministry is still powerful in people because there's so much hurt, there's so much brokenness, there's so much longing for lives to be healed mentally, emotionally, physically, so much longing for a nation to be healed, for people and interactions. So we long for this healing power of Jesus. This past Thursday, our team at CTK, or part of our team at CTK, attended a gathering of churches that are seeking to put on the next revival movement or the next crusade here in Charlotte, and we're going to be a part of that. The last crusade that was in the Charlotte area was in 1996 by Billy Graham. Actually, this church was about 2 years old at the time, and we actually took part in that experience of Charlotte area. It was powerful. So why is all this taking place now? There was a group of Koreans, as we were sharing together on Thursday, that had been sent from South Korea to this area, and they were looking for a place to pray in for several days. And a church in uptown Charlotte had invited him to say, we have space available. You're welcome to come. And they shared together in prayer. And as they were gathering in prayer, the pastor met them and said, why are you coming all the way from South Korea to the Charlotte area to pray? He says, we've come because we wanted to come back to the city of Billy Graham. Because many years ago, Billy Graham came to South Korea, and millions of people in that time gave their lives to Jesus Christ, and it changed the culture, and it changed our nation. But as we see the movement of the world, we're seeing what's happening in the United States. And we felt like from a nation, we needed to come, and we needed to pray for America. Because in South Korea, we believe that where America goes, so does the world. America has so much influence of people all over the world that it needs the prayers of the world to stay on track with Jesus. We're like, amen, right? So this group of pastors begin to share together, and they've now reached out to others like me and others throughout the city saying, it's time to bring our city back together. It's time to begin to pray over what the needs of the nation are, and it needs to start right here. If it's not going to start right here, who else? Why not us? We know that the number one healing that happens in any nation, and happens in any family, happens in any life, that happens in any church, starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It begins by understanding that we are a sinful people, and it's because we are sinful, we are broken, and our nation's broken, and our families are broken. An increase, as we see across the nation, of mental health issues and all kinds of diseases and brokenness and the things happening in our schools and the school shootings, all direct relationship with the issue of sin and our issue of being far from God. We have a need for revival. We need a need for the healing of our land. And we have a need to come together and long for the heart of Jesus as healer. If you dive into the Old Testament, you will see many times in the Old Testament, actually 67 times in the Old Testament, God is shown as healer. Or the name in the Old Testament, Hebrew name, is Jehovah Rapha. God, the one who heals. The one who heals. And it's not just an aspect of one who heals my body. Jehovah Rapha is the one who stitches it together, literally holds what is broken and brings it together emotionally, mentally. It's often referred to as the healing of the land, the healing of the people, the healing of families, the healing of the mind, the healing of the soul. That aspect of God understood as Jehovah Rapha was first experienced in Exodus chapter 15, beginning with verse 26. And it was when God's people were led out of Egypt, and where they had been in bondage and captivity, held under suppression for 400 years, and God rescued them, began to take them out into the wilderness. As they went out into the wilderness, they were particularly subject now to the will of God and the humbleness under God, because they were without food. They're without water, like a million people. And they had this deep need for God, begin to cry out for God. And one of the first needs they ran into as they got into wilderness was water. You can't go far without water. Literally, they were thirsting to death. And they came to a pool of water, which you can imagine how much they wanted to drink. But the water was bitter. It meant if they drank from the water, they would die. That area was called the place of Marah, or the place of desperation. Moses then began to speak to the people, as God spoke to Moses, said, I want you to tell the people that I'm going to heal the water because I am Jehovah Rapha. And that if you turn and come to me, and if you seek me with all your heart, and you long for me, if you follow my decrees and my commands, I will heal your diseases, I will heal your land, I will heal this water, and I will be known for you as the God who heals. It's a powerful movement by which we see how God stirs in our hearts. But what I want you to understand is there's a movement. And there was a movement of what God was calling the people to be. He was calling them to seek him with all their heart and mind and soul. He was calling them to desire him with everything that they had. He was calling them to long for him as the one who would heal them, Jehovah Rapha. And then as the New Testament emerges and the person of Jesus comes on the scene, people begin to wonder, who is he? Is he the God of the Old Testament? Is he the Messiah? Is he the one God has sent for us? And what we begin to see in the New Testament is a very similar pattern. If we look at the passage in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, we see, as Matthew writes this gospel about Jesus, he says, and Jesus went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. And listen to this, he healed every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, paralytics. He healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. And this great crowd continued to grow. Now listen to the categories of healing. It wasn't just one form, was it? Whatever came, whatever was broken, paralyzed, lame, whatever the case, is as Jesus healed them. Jehovah Rapha in the flesh, standing right there in front of them. Could he indeed be the God of the universe? In Mark chapter 6, verse 56, it says, and whenever Jesus came in the villages, the cities, the countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, and they implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were what? Made well. Jehovah Rapha, walking on the face of the earth. Imagine that. Imagine that. Anyone who touched him was a garment, whoever came to him. In fact, we could say the only ones that were not healed in the town were those who did not come. Hear me, church. The Old Testament promises, if all who seek his face and long to follow in his ways, I will be Jehovah Rapha. What does that mean for us today? What does it look like? The scriptures begin to give us some idea of who this Jesus is and what he has come to do. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "He, Jesus himself, bore our sins on his body on a tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds," read that with me. Is that past tense? This says something's already happened. This says through Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in his body on a tree on the cross, it says that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Whoa. What's that all about? What's that all about? Die to sin. Doesn't it sound a little like the Old Testament? If you will seek me with all your heart, if you repent and turn from your ways and turn to God's ways, you, in essence, you die to yourself, you die to sin, and you live in rightness, righteousness. You live under this power of God. By his stripes, you have been healed. That's a promise. And I know what you're thinking, same way I was when I'm working on this stuff. But where's all the healing? I don't see it, God. I called two friends of mine yesterday, both dying. One of cancer, one with ALS. And those are tough conversations. We don't talk as much about going camping and hiking and all the stuff we used to do together. We're in conversations about how you're feeling today. How are your hands not working? We long for healing, don't we? We feel it. We experience it. We grieve as we talk to couples that are falling apart and friendships that are sitting on opposite sides of the room. Say, "Jesus, Jehovah, Rapha, are you still with me?" Imagine how many in Jesus' day long for that. But yet there's a promise. He says, if you seek my face, if you come to me, if you long to follow in my ways, I will be your healer. It's a promise that he comes. It's kind of like when I think about Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 13, at the end of that love passage we often think about, he says this. He says, "Right now we see in a mirror dimly, but someday we'll see face to face." He says, "Right now we can't see it perfectly, but someday we will." It's kind of like we live in this time of the already, but not yet. I see some of the healing, but I don't get to see it all. Because we all know we get to see some healing too, right? Many of you may have already witnessed when miraculous things have happened within lives and relationships and one who's ill or addictions, and you see the healing of God and the power of God, and they kneel down before God and lives change. We see it, but not everywhere. Not everywhere. Why? Why? John the Baptist was longing for this. He was the forerunner of Jesus. And he's saying, is the Messiah come? Is Jehovah Rapha actually in the midst? I want to know. And in Matthew 11, the word comes back to him. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. And the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have the good news preached to them. Look at the tense. This isn't, John, this is going to happen. This is, John, look around you. Jehovah Rapha
is walking on the face of the earth. And he is today. But why don't we see it? That's where we struggle. You ever wondered if Jesus came as Jehovah Rapha? That he didn't experience any of it for himself? That he would go into the villages and towns and wherever people came to him in those villages and towns, even if they touched the robe of his heart garment, they were healed? And yet Jesus would suffer. He'd be hungry. He'd be beaten. And he would die. If he was coming to the face of the earth to be Jehovah Rapha, would not he have brought healing among everyone? Maybe you've asked the question, what did I do wrong? Was I not faithful enough? No. Remember the woman whose son died? There's a funeral procession going down the middle of town, and it says Jesus had compassion on her. She didn't even know who Jesus was. And he healed her son. There were only three people in the Bible who were raised from the dead. What about all the rest? There were thousands of people that were healed in all kinds of ways. But what about all the rest? What about Jesus himself? If he is truly Jehovah Rapha, what's going wrong? Or what might we ask? What's going right? That's where we need to wrestle. Why did Jesus come and walk on the face of the earth? We know by what he did, of historical fact, that he is Jehovah Rapha. He is the healer. But why did he come and not heal himself? Why did he suffer when he kept others from suffering? And it's this. The first coming of Jesus was to purchase our redemption through his death on the cross. Let me say that again. The first coming of Jesus was to purchase our redemption through his death on the cross. The reason he came was to give us a preview of the physical, spiritual nature of what redemption would look like. But what causes all the brokenness? Sin. When Jesus came the first time, what he came to defeat was the cause of all that makes us unwell. What he came to defeat was the core of what breaks us apart. And what he gave was the antidote, his life crucified. His life buried, his life raised up to defeat sin and death. That's why he came. In the midst of him coming, he showed us a preview, a foretaste of what it's like when he comes again. That he is indeed Jehovah Rapha. And he has indeed now defeated sin, that all of us can come to him. All of us can come and touch the hem of his garment. He's made a way, an open door, that whoever confesses sin receives by his stripes. We are healed. We all get it. But that's only the first installment. See, he's coming again. In Revelation 21, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud cry from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and, And he will be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for all the former things will be passed away. Hear me, church. When he came the first time, he defeated the cause of all the brokenness. And when he comes again, we will experience the full effect of Jehovah Rapha. We want to long for that. And we want nothing in this world to make us think that this is heaven, because it is not. This is the battleground in which Jesus came to forgive the very basis of why we got in this destructive place in the first place. I long as much as you do for my friends to be healed. I celebrate when I get to see the move of God powerfully and miraculously in the lives of people still today. But none of it makes me think for a moment that I don't want what's coming. Because there's going to be a day when wheelchairs are melted down and walking sticks are thrown to the side and cancer no longer flows through the body and paralyzed people can walk and blind can see. It's coming, because Jehovah Rapha is in the house. Amen. You see, there's a reason for suffering. We do not want to belittle that Jesus suffered. We do not want to sit back and say, well, why didn't he save himself if he could heal everybody else? It is the suffering that paid the price. You see, our sin has a price, and that price is death. And if Jesus had saved himself, if he had healed himself before the grave, he would not have suffered and paid the price that must be paid for us to get what's coming next. And if we think that our human suffering doesn't have a purpose, it does. It makes us begin to think and long for the one who is to come. It makes us begin to understand what it was like when Jesus suffered for your sins and my sins. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, when he's wrestling with the same thing with the congregation in Rome as we are today. And he says to them, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." And not only the creation, because the land itself is falling, but we ourselves. And we have, listen to this, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. What is the first fruits of the Spirit? We have the first fruits that Jesus Christ died for our sin, defeated death, destroyed that which keeps us from being healed. Even though we've grown inwardly, we wait eagerly for the adoptions as sons for what? The redemption of our what? Bodies. Wait for it. Because even if you're healed here, it's like Lazarus. Even though he was one that got raised from the dead, he still what? Died. This isn't the glory land. What's coming is. When Jesus comes again, the fulfillment of Jehovah Rapha, you will see face to face. And when we talk about a crusade, or we talk about bringing people to Jesus, that's the ultimate goal. That's the end game. We just have the first installment. And that's defeating sin and death. But the good stuff's coming. So what might we expect? Two things. All forgiveness and healing will come. Hang on to that. It's coming. Paul writes in Romans 5:3, he says, we should rejoice in our sufferings. Man, how do you even put those two words in the same sentence?
He says this, because knowing that suffering produces an endurance, and an endurance produces a character, that's a righteousness. And a character produces a hope, that's me longing. I don't want any level of healing in my life that makes me stop longing for heaven. That would be a mistake. It's a hope. And hope will never put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out on us and His Holy Spirit given to us. That's the cross. Second thing we should expect is this. Forgiveness and healing are happening now. A foretaste has been shown. When Jesus walked on the face of the earth as Jehovah Rapha, He came to forgive our sins, redeem us. But He showed us the inbreaking of the kingdom. And don't misunderstand me. Healings, miraculous healing, still happens. You may have seen it. I have seen it. Do I understand it all? No, I don't. Do I wish all my friends were healed? I'm not sure. Because some of them I talk to just says, I want Jesus. They're on the edge of death, and they're not praying to stay here. They're longing for what's coming, and I'm praying for the wrong thing. Because they already have the hope that is to come. See, God is amazing, and God is meeting us in all these places of healing, but calling us to Him. It's happening now. Jesus wants to heal your loneliness. Pray for it. He wants to heal your addictions. Pray for it. He wants to take away your sin. Pray for it. 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just, and He'll forgive us. And not only that, He will cleanse us from all that's not right within us. Jesus wants physical healing. He's Jehovah Rapha. Jesus wants the healing of our emotions and our minds, this huge mental health crisis in America. He wants to heal it. 1 Peter, he says, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. He cares for you. We have seen those healings happen, so we know He wants it. But He wants us to stand in hope. Isaiah 43 is a beautiful passage. Chapter 43, beginning with verse 1, it says, fear not, I have redeemed you. That's what happened on the cross. I have called you by name. That's your value. You belong to Him. When you pass through the waters, that's the rough stuff, I will be with you. And though the rivers seem to overwhelm you, or when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And the flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Holy One, your Savior. Look to Him. Hold to Him. Pray to Him. As the Bible says over and over, seek Him with all of your heart and all your mind and your soul. Long to walk in His will and your ways. And the same promise He gave in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. I will be your healer. I will be your healer. When you came in today, you received a card. Little index card. Nothing's on it right now. Anyone in the room not receive one? We had an usher. Raise your hand. An usher will get one to you. One over here. Ushers, if you'll grab those. Raise your hand so the usher can find you. Thank you. Raise your hands. There's one here. Want everybody to have one. Some up here in the front. There's some pencils in the back of your chairs. Where do you need healing? Today, where do you need to be interceding for your loved ones or friends, coworkers? Because Jehovah Rapha's in the house. And the interesting thing is, whenever they brought people to Jesus, they were exposed. It's always interesting, whatever's brought into the light has an opportunity to heal. What's kept in the darkness doesn't. They brought their friends out in public and brought him before Jesus and said, heal him. And they could see what he needed healing from. This is a time you don't want to hide from Jesus. Take a moment and write on a card, where do you need healing? The worship team's going to lead us in a worship song in a moment, and we do bring this card to these baskets, and we're going to lift them up to God for healing. We don't have an expectation of what he wants to do, but we do know who he is. And he has you in every way. There's a beautiful passage. It's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It says, If my people called by my name humble themselves, that's what it takes to put something on a card, and they pray and they seek my face and they turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Don't we want that? God is real. And he's waiting for you. Already, but not yet. But he's going to meet you in that water. He's going to walk with you through that fire. And you might have a unique foretaste of what's to come. But he will bring healing. So take a moment, write it down, and as we worship, just bring it forward.
Jesus, have your way.
There's a lot of hurt in these baskets. But God has it. We trust Him as Jehovah Rapha. We know Him as the one who desires to heal the deepest, hardest, and broken places of our lives and those of our friends. We don't ever want to forget what He longs to give us, even if we only get part of it now. May we long for Him to come again when all of this is gone. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. That's what we want. If we seek Him with all of our heart, we long to walk in His ways. His promise is true. He is your Jehovah Rapha, your Redeemer, your Savior. He loves you. Gracious Heavenly Father, here we are. We come humbly before You, lifting up these needs which You clearly see. We thank You, Father, that You have forgiven us our sin, that You've taken away the sting of death, that You walk with us through the waters when we can hardly keep our head above, and through the fires that feel like we're scorching, and yet You are there as You were long ago. You are today, and You will always be. So, Father, into Your hands we give all of this, and we trust in Your mercy and in Your grace and in Your love. Jehovah Rapha, You are our healer, and we place it in Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. There's some prayer partners that'll be gathered on this side of the room. This is an opportunity for you to take that seriously. Whatever place in your life by which you're longing, I want to be prayed over for this healing. I need a word spoken into my life for this. They are here for you, and they'll remain here as long as you need them. So as you leave today, bring somebody to Jesus. Introduce them, Jehovah Rapha. But today, let Him meet you. Amen.